This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good morning to you all. I'm Pastor Brian de Villiers, and I'm so glad to be with you again this morning. We continue with our new series that we've begun, the study in the book of Acts. And I want to speak to you this morning about the same Jesus ascending and descending. I want to read to you from Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 9 to 11, and this is what it says to us. Now, when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who is also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? The same Jesus, you got that? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. It is always important for us to remember that the Christian faith rests upon certain great historical facts. In this respect, Christianity is different from other religions which are concerned with moral systems, philosophies, and religious observances. The gospel is God's good news of what he's done in history in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the salvation of men. What are the great acts of God upon which the Christian faith rests, which are declared in the gospel? They concern the person and the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Five great facts concerning him are brought before us in the opening verses of Acts that we have just read this morning. One, his incarnation. That verse that we read here in verse 1. O former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. It tells us about what Jesus began to do, and he began to teach. So where we've got that, his incarnation is inferred. And verse 2 says, until the day in which he was taken up, after through the Holy Spirit had given commandment to the apostles whom he had chosen. There we have it. It speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks about him in his incarnation. He came to earth as man. Secondly, his crucifixion in verse 3, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many infallible proofs being seen by them during 40 days, speaking of the things that pertain to the kingdom of God after his suffering. His suffering was on the cross of Calvary. And then thirdly, his resurrection. It tells us that he rose again after 40 days, speaking of these things, after his suffering, many infallible proofs being seen by them during 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Then we have his ascension into heaven. Now, when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. That was his ascension. And the next great historical event, his second coming. Because it tells us, and while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, you got that? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. The same Jesus will come again. That's what it's saying to us. It's speaking about the second advent. In this study, we are to consider and compare the fact and purpose of his ascension and the promise and purpose of his advent. We are to link together his going up and his coming down, for both are brought before us in this section of Scripture. Notice that four times we are told that Jesus was taken up. You got that? We read here in Acts chapter 1. It tells us in verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up. We read verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up. Verse 11 tells us the same thing. It says, the men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you will come in like manner. Verse 22 of the same chapter, beginning from the baptism of John to the day when he was taken up from us, of these must become a witness also of his resurrection. There we got it. And we are told that Jesus is coming down again. Verse 9 and 10, the same Jesus who has gone up will come. We have the record of Jesus ascending. Verse 10 and verse 11 tells us, why do you gaze? The same Jesus will come again. We have the promise of Jesus descending. Three truths are emphasized here about his ascension and his second advent. He ascended personally. He will come again personally. Notice the words in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. The same Jesus. It says the same Jesus who's been taken up will come again. It's the same Lord Jesus who was born in Bethlehem, who lived 33 years upon the earth, who was filled with compassion for all who were in trouble. He died for our sins. He rose for our justification, and he ascended. Who will come again? It tells us clearly. Number two, he ascended bodily. He will come again bodily. His was a bodily resurrection, a bodily ascension. He came from the grave, a resurrected man with a glorious body. What does it say to us in Acts chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4? To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many infallible proofs being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from him. You have heard from him the promise of the Holy Spirit. And then we turn again and we go further on in the New Testament. And I want to read here from Philippians, and this is what it tells us, Philippians 3 and verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us something powerful. It tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming again. And after 40 days, he ascended in the same body. His return will be a bodily return. He will come again. Thirdly, he ascended visibly. He will come again visibly. It was while they beheld that they saw he was taken up from them. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received them out of their sight. So we are told this, the cloud took him. He was taken out of their sight. He will come again visibly. When he comes again, he will be seen first by his own people and then by everybody. Because it tells me, when I read in 1 John, and I'm going to 1 John now, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. And this is what 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 tells me. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It's saying to us, we're going to see him when he comes again. Revelation 1:7 tells us, behold, he cometh, and every eye will see him. You've got that? He cometh, every eye. These precise references assure us that in these three important respects, as our Lord ascended, so he will descend. The same Jesus whose birth is recorded, whose ministry is chronicled, whose crucifixion is described clearly, whose resurrection is declared, whose ascension is so clearly stated, will surely come again personally, bodily, and visibly. You've got that? The same Jesus ascending. That's what it tells us. The same Jesus ascending. And the same Jesus ascending. Where is Jesus now? And we want to read this. We read this in Hebrews chapter 1. And this is what Hebrews chapter 1 tells us. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, but has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angel, and he has an inheritance obtained, a more excellent name than they. It tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when we turn to Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1 tells us this in verses 19 to 23. This is what it tells us. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the age to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave to him the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Why did he ascend? And why is he in heaven now? Many answers could be given to the questions, but consider the following. We need to consider this. Number one, because his earthly mission was completed, he must now commence his heavenly ministry from the throne. His earthly mission culminated in his death on the cross of Calvary. He made atonement for our sins, and having finished his work, he sat down. And we are told this in John chapter 17, in the high priestly prayer of Jesus. He tells us, Father, I have finished the work you have given me to do. John chapter 19, verse 30, remarkable verse. It says, Jesus said at the end, he died on the cross. He said, It is finished. We need to understand that. It is finished. And we learn that. 1 Timothy 2:5 tells us, we have one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He is in heaven. He's our mediator. That's what it tells me in John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus says something that only Jesus can say. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He is in heaven as our great high priest. And because he's our great high priest, we can come boldly. What does it say? Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Do you get that? Grace to help us in time of need. He's our advocate. What does 1 John chapter 2, 1 and 2 tell us? He says, dear friends, we have, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he's the propitiation. That word means he is the mercy seat for all our sins. Jesus Christ, he is our advocate. He's our intercessor. He's praying for us. That's what it tells me when I read Romans chapter 8. Hear these tremendous words. Romans chapter 8, and we read here in Romans 8 and from verse 34. This is what it tells us in verse 34. It tells us this, and it's very clear. It says to us in Romans 8, 34, who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Isn't that wonderful? He's making intercession for us at the right hand of the Father. Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. There we have it, my friends. He's making intercession. Jesus is working, and Jesus, through us, he's building his church. He says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. Matthew 16:18. And it says to us, we need to know that completely. He's building, he's doing something. It tells us again in his word to us that he's working constantly. In heaven, he continues the work which he began on earth. He's now receiving a kingdom unto himself. There you got it. He's receiving a kingdom unto himself. Number two. In order that all the people everywhere might enjoy his continual presence, while he sat down here upon the earth, he could only be in one place at one time. But from heaven now, in the person and the presence of the Holy Spirit, he's with us, every one of his children. He says to us, lo, I am with you always. Never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. This could only be possible by the ascension of our living Lord Jesus Christ. In all the things we go through in life, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the promise we have, the continual abiding presence of Christ within us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Number three, to prepare our heavenly home. He's gone to prepare our heavenly home. We're not going to live here forever, friends. We're in the world. We live in the world, yes, but this is not our final destination. It is clearly stated in John 14, verse 2, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In the Savior's own words, at his ascension, the bridegroom went to prepare a place for his bride. He's our forerunner. And because he's gone before us, we are to follow. The same Jesus descending? Why will Jesus come back? What will he do when he comes? Number one, he's coming to receive all his people to himself so that they may be with him forever. That's what it tells him. To begin, John 14, verse 2, he says, I'm going to prepare. a place for you. I'm coming to receive you. That's where I am. There you may be also. When he comes for all believers that believe in him, the Lord Jesus. There's going to be a resurrection. The dead will be raised and the living will be changed. We will have new bodies. He's coming to fetch his children. Every redeemed person, Jesus is coming to fetch us and take us back home. We are saved by grace and not by works. Let me read these incredible words to you because I believe they say something to all of us today. I want to read from 1 Corinthians. And this is what 1 Corinthians tells me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is what it says to you and me from verse 51. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I read from verse 51. Tremendous words. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be all changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Where is your victory? Oh, we have it in the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends. I want to say to you this morning, he's coming back again to fetch his children. What does it say to us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? And I read from verse 16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we always be with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? We're going to be with him. Secondly, he's coming to establish his earthly and his millennial kingdom. We told about this in Revelation 20. And of course, this is what the Old Testament prophets spoke about, the time when Jesus will rule and reign upon the earth. Thirdly, he's coming to judge his enemies, to usher in an eternity of blessing for all who love him and all those who belong to him, the Lord Jesus Christ. But how glorious is the prospect for God's people. Oh, we read this in the last book of the Bible. We read in the book of Revelation chapter 22, and it says some of the most glorious things we need to hear this morning as I bring this to a close. I read from you for you from chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20, and this is what it says to us. Revelation 20, it says, he laid hold of the dragon and he cast him into the pit. There's going to be the millennial reign. When he's cast, the devil is bound. But then we read these remarkable words. Those are found in Revelation 20. But I read Revelation 22, verses 1 to 5. And he showed me a pure river of water, life clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. And in the middle of its street and on either side the river was a tree of life, who bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants will serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. There is no need for a lamp nor light, for the Son of the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Verse 20, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. In view of this present exaltation, in view of the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should go out as Christians to tell others to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why should some hear the gospel twice when some have never heard it once? That's the responsibility that rests upon us. But as I close this morning, can I ask you a question? Are you ready for Jesus to come? If Jesus should come back today, tomorrow, next week, next month, are you ready for Jesus to come? Do you live in the expectation of Jesus coming? If you don't know Jesus this morning, put your hand on your heart and pray this prayer with me. Say, Living Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for me on the cross, paid the price for all my sin, past, present, and future. I receive you now into my heart, into my life, as the Lord and the Savior of my life. I want to love you and serve you forever by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you prayed that prayer, you're a child of God. Welcome into the family of God this morning. And if we can help you at Radio Pulpit, 021-180-5744, 021-180-5744, we'll only be glad to help you. My friends, I pray this morning you'll ask yourself today, am I really ready for Jesus to come? God bless you and have the most incredible day. If you're a Christian, you don't have to worry about it. You're set to go when Jesus returns. Bless you all, and I thank you.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.